All right, as we look at the second part in the series of the life of Timothy, tonight I want to pick up. We left off last time just talking about Timothy's travels with Paul, and he had been in Philippi, and they left Philippi, and we said there that it's very likely that Paul left Timothy and Luke behind in Philippi to strengthen the church. Anybody remember why we think that that's a likelihood? Anybody remember why? Why? Because who wrote the book of Luke? I gave you the answer. Who wrote the book of Acts? It was Luke. All right. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and Luke suddenly changed the pronouns from us to they. Right? And so when he changed them to they, it sounds like he wasn't there at the time when he was talking about these kind of things. And so it's a very likely possibility that he and maybe Timothy stayed behind there to strengthen those new believers. I mean, you stop and think about it. We don't know how long Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy were there at Philippi. But the circumstances involved there, you know, he preached the gospel for a while until he stirred everybody up, and he gets beaten and they get thrown in prison, and then there's this great earthquake and they get told to leave prison and leave town. We don't want you around here. And all of this was taking place, and there was new believers, Lydia and the little group of believers there, including the jailer, were part of this little nucleus of people, but it was a small little group. And so they were brand new believers. So it's very likely that Paul left behind a couple of these fellas to kind of strengthen and build them up. And that's probably why Luke changed the pronouns there. But then they traveled over to Berea. And when they got to Berea, in Acts chapter 17, we find their entrance into Berea. And he's starting to preach the gospel there in Berea. And actually, before they got to Berea, they went to Thessalonica. And then they went on to Berea. The beginning of 17, it talks about when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and they preached there. And then eventually Paul got run out of there and went to Berea. And here again at Berea, a short time later, we see here that he remained after Paul left. All right, so look at verse 13 of Acts 17, verse 13. Right, Acts 17:13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had acknowledged that the word of God was preached of Paul in Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent Paul to go, as it were, to see, but Silas and Timothy abode there still. All right, so Paul was sent by the believers. They said, "You're going to have to get out of here because these guys are going to kill you." And so they. Paul went by sea, and he traveled down to Athens, and Timothy and Silas stayed there and strengthened the believers. Now, Timothy was able to do that because he was not the one that they looked at as the ringleader. Paul was the one that was the spokesman. He was the preacher. He was the one they were irritated with. He was the one they were stirred up about. And so Paul was able to leave, or he needed to leave, but Timothy and Silas were able to stay behind, strengthen the believers there that came to Christ. Now, these churches, it really is amazing. You think about it today. I mean, you go into an area and win a person to Christ and try to start a little nucleus, and you got two or three people, and if you just walk off after two or three weeks, the chances of that surviving is almost nothing. And yet there, it was different. And one of the reasons was, remember, they were dealing with people who were not Bible ignorant. They were dealing with people who were Jews that knew the scriptures well. Now, sure, there were some Gentiles. It appears that the jailer was a Gentile in Philippi. But a lot of the people they were dealing with were Jewish people who knew the scriptures well. They were looking for the Messiah. And now Paul shows them from the scripture and says, this Jesus was the Christ. He is the one you've been looking for. And they just were able then to turn their religious thinking around, and they had a good foundation, but they still needed some guidance. And so Paul left Timothy there to help. Now, think about this, young Timothy. How long has he been with Paul? I mean, they have just left over here. They've traveled across here. They've gotten as far, and they're down in here. He hasn't been with him all that long. I mean, even if that took him a good long time, even if it was a half a year that they took wandering their way across there, that's still not very long. This young man, he is really kind of a rookie still. He still knew it all this. And yet Paul was able to trust him to help build up those believers. That says a lot for Timothy. Timothy was a young man who had grown greatly in the things of the Lord, and he was one that Paul could trust to help carry on the work there. And it was a great blessing to Paul. Now, while they were, after he, Paul had left, he'd gone down to Athens. And as soon as he got down to Athens, then we see that he sent back to where the other men were and said, come down and help me. All right. Now look at in Acts 17, verse 15. Acts 17, 15. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for them to come to him with all speed, and they departed. All right, so Paul got down there and he saw, listen, there is a lot of opportunities here. We need to have help down here. And so he wrote back to those guys, sent them back, and by the messengers that had come down with him, and he sent them back and said, tell Timothy and Silas, I need him down here as quick as they can come down. And so all this would have taken time. It's not like they had cars and were able to travel that area. And you think, you know, it wasn't a real short distance here. It's quite a distance here to travel from Berea all the way down to Athens. It would have been quite a distance down here. So we're talking about several days, maybe several weeks before they got down here, and then by the time they traveled all the way back, or some of them, they came down by boat, that would have been probably a little bit quicker. So Paul's trusting Timothy, and Timothy now is coming down there to meet with Paul. And when he got down there, we find him again at Corinth in chapter 18 and verse number 5. All right, so chapter 18 and verse number 5, and then Silas and Timothy were come to Macedonia, from Macedonia. Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. All right, so now he's down in Corinth. Now, once he got to Athens, he didn't stay in Athens very long, and he moved over to Corinth. Now, Corinth was a large city. It was a seaport. It was a very important city, but a very wild and wicked and filthy city. Because of being a seaport, things haven't changed a whole lot since those days. You know, you get around seafaring people, and they live a pretty wild, reckless, wicked life. And so Corinth was not a very clean and happy city. And that's why you find so many problems in the churches of Corinth there. There are two letters to the Corinthians. They had a lot of issues and a lot of problems because it was a corrupt city. And the people, they had a lot of baggage. And, you know, when people get saved out of a rough life, you got a lot of baggage you got to work through. And so this was the situation here. So Timothy's down there with Paul in Corinth now. And they brought news from Thessalonica that Paul was waiting for. In 1 Thessalonians chapter, let me just turn over there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we see here that Paul mentions this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse number 6. But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good news of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all your afflictions and distresses in your by your faith. So Paul was excited to hear when he got the news from Timothy that the Thessalonians were standing strong. They were still doing right. They were still walking with the Lord. And he was encouraging that, so that Timothy was a bearer of good news. So he had been up there, Timothy had been up there with them, and he brings down this news to Paul, down to Corinth, and Paul was rejoicing in that. And so he was with Paul there in Corinth, then when he wrote both of the letters back to the Thessalonian churches. So when you got 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Paul wrote them from Corinth, and he wrote them back to the Thessalonian believers, and Timothy was with him down there in Corinth during this time. Then he also accompanied Paul on his third missionary journey. All right, so some time had elapsed here. They'd gone back to the mainland of Israel again and reported to the churches. And Paul's on his third missionary journey now. And as he's traveling around, this time he spent quite a bit of time in Ephesus, and we find that Paul sent Timothy on in advance of him to Macedonia. So he's over here in Ephesus. Ephesus is this green blob here. I tried to write it with a green pen, and it made a mess. So I left it be. But this green blob is Ephesus here. All right. So Paul, on this journey, he travels across and come over and spent quite a bit of time in Ephesus trying to strengthen them. That was where there was the goddess Diana and the big temple to Diana. And there was but there was a good group of Christians there. And then Paul sent Timothy on ahead of him. He said, I want you to go over to Corinth, but I want you to go through Macedonia. I don't want you to take the boat across. I want you to go up this way. I want you to visit the people there in Thessalonica, Berea, and Philippi, and then come down through this way, and I'll meet you over there in Corinth. So Paul sent Timothy ahead of him. And once again, he's a trustworthy young man, someone that Paul could trust and someone that he could depend upon to help him with that. And we see in 1 Corinthians 4:17 that Paul had commended Timothy in his character. And I'm going to just read those verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. It says, for this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who was my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere and in every church. All right, so he calls him his beloved son and one who is faithful in the Lord. Very good commendation. I mean, thinking about who this is coming from. This is coming from the great apostle Paul. Can you imagine being a companion of the Apostle Paul and having him make that kind of comment about you? I mean, to say that you were his beloved son and a faithful one in the Lord, that is a great compliment. So this young Timothy was an outstanding young man who loved the Lord, and he was there to minister to Paul, not just to travel with him. He was Paul's minister, a fellow helper with Paul, and ministered with him in the gospel. And he was learning greatly and quickly. And so we need these qualities that he had. Those qualities were priceless qualities, and we really, really need those in our lives today. And though Paul himself stayed at Ephesus for a time, Paul's there at Ephesus, and he had sent Timothy on to this ahead of time, but Paul stayed there in Ephesus for a while, and as he stayed there, he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. All right, so while he was there, he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, and he addressed several things that he had heard from them. Perhaps he had heard them by letter from Timothy of some of the problems that were going on there, but he wrote them and tried to address some of these issues. And then Paul left Ephesus and went through Macedonia and came down to Corinth again. All right, so once again, he could have just gotten a boat and come across here. That would have been a lot quicker. But he wanted to go through Macedonia so he could visit these churches and the places he'd been. So Paul visits him again. Timothy had already been on that route, and Timothy's down in Corinth waiting for him now as he went across. And as Paul was about to sail, then Timothy was with him and there in Corinth, and it was there while they're in Corinth that he wrote the book of Romans. All right, so he's down here in Corinth. So Timothy went ahead, and then Paul followed him behind. And they spent time down there in Corinth. And while they're in Corinth, he wrote the letter to the Romans. All right, so Rome's over here. So he wrote the letter to the Romans. Paul had never been there before, but he was concerned. He knew a lot of the people that were there, and because of his travels and stuff. And so Paul was burdened for them, and he wrote the book of Romans. Without a question, the most doctrinal book in the Bible. An amazing book. But Paul wrote that to the church there at Rome to strengthen them. And he was about to sail to Syria, and he discovered that there was a murderous plot trying to attack him again. And so, as a result, he chose to go through Macedonia and Asia on his way to Syria. So he just changed his route, detoured, tried to get these guys off of his trail that were trying to kill him. And he took a different route and then headed back towards to Syria. And so over here in Syria, Antioch of Syria was up here at the top. And he went back there. That was his home church. And then he went down to Jerusalem and reported to Jerusalem church as well. So this was the as Paul was traveling around on his third missionary journey there. And Timothy was with him most of that time. And it was there while he was... There's no mention of Timothy until years later when he was with Paul in Rome. And while he was with Paul in Rome, he wrote both Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. All three of them have Timothy's name in the introduction. All right? So that was when he was in Rome. So Paul, remember, when he got down to Jerusalem, that's when he was arrested. The Jews rioted. He was arrested, and he spent 2 years in jail down here in Caesarea. And then finally he says, I appeal to Caesar. I'm not going to stand before the Jews anymore because they're just betraying me. And he appealed to Caesar, and then he was sent by ship, and he had the shipwreck over here and ended up on the island of Malta, and eventually got up to Rome. And it was while he was at Rome. Now, was Timothy with him on that boat? I don't know. He doesn't say too much about who all was with him on that shipwreck ride. But we later see that Timothy's with him there in Rome, and he writes Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. All right, so Philemon was written to a man, but the Colossians and Philippians, of course, Philippians was written to the Philippine Christians, and the Colossians to the Colossae church, and he was writing to them, but Timothy was with him during that time. Now, just a little bit about Timothy's personal ministry. You know, ministering in Ephesus, we see he spent quite a bit of time in Ephesus, and it's likely that Paul, when he was released from prison in Rome, that Paul traveled through with him to Ephesus. All right, so if Paul was with Timothy over here in Rome when Paul was in prison, he was in prison there until he was acquitted the first time, and he was set free, and then he went out and traveled and preached again, and then the second time he was arrested, and that time he never got out. He was executed. But how long he was loose during that time, nobody knows for sure. But he was out for a time, and it seems as though they went from there. One of the places they went to was Ephesus, and they went back there and spent some time in Ephesus. And it was there that Paul left Timothy at Ephesus, and we see this in his letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1. He mentions this in verse number 3. It says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, and though that thou mightest charge some of them to teach no other doctrine. So Paul here left Timothy. One of the reasons he left him in Ephesus was to correct problems that were there. And there was a lot of issues there in Ephesus that were coming up, and that he was left there to tackle and try to correct and fix. And Paul then traveled on, and he went back west again. And we find that one of the places he went was to Nicopolis, which is right here in Achaia. It was on the side over here. And it was at Nicopolis that we suspect that he probably wrote book of 1 Timothy to Timothy. Timothy was over here in Ephesus, and Paul was over in Nicopolis, because he says, I'm in Nicopolis, see if you can't come over quickly and bring my coat and some books and various things with him. I want you to come visit me. And whether he ever made it or not, nobody knows that. But Paul was over there in Nicopolis preaching. And yet Paul wrote this epistle, 1 Timothy, to this young preacher to encourage him to remain strong and to be courageous. Timothy had a big job ahead of him. Here he's young, and he's placed in a situation where there was a lot of people that were older than him that were causing trouble, and they were teaching things that were not true, and they were stirring up problems. And so there in 1 Timothy, Paul writes to him and tells him a lot of different things that he needed to address. Unger, in his Bible dictionary, gives us this kind of synopsis of this. And I want to just read what Unger said here. He said, Timothy was to check, if possible, the outgrowth of heresy and licentiousness. All right, so heresy is wrong doctrine, licentiousness, you know, immorality type things that had sprung up there. And he had to exercise rule over the presbyters, that's the leaders there. The presbytery means the leadership, or the bishops of the congregation. And some of them older than himself, Because we see that in chapter 4, verse 12, where Paul tells him, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. All right, so he says, even though you're young, don't let them despise your youth. You be a strong leader and do what's right. All right, and then he was to also render judgments. He was to take, you know, make some judgments on some issues that needed to be taken care of. He was to regulate their almsgiving and to help them with their, he says, their sisterhood. That's when he's talking about, remember he was talking about the who was a widow indeed and who was not a widow indeed, and the younger ones were to marry and the older ones, if they didn't have anybody to care for them. And Timothy was supposed to regulate all this and help them work through all that. And a lot of responsibility there. And he was to ordain overseers and pastors and deacons in the church there. And these duties, together with the danger of being entangled in the disputes of the rival sects, made Paul anxious for the steadfastness of this disciple. And that's why he wrote this letter to him. He said, 1 Timothy is really a letter to Timothy saying, stand strong, do right, because I know you got a tough job. And I don't want you to fall. I don't want you to go astray. I want you to do what's right. And so that was not an easy job. And so Paul left Timothy there with that big job. And then Paul wrote 2 Timothy while he was at Rome in prison. All right, so sometime after this, he had been in Nicopolis, and perhaps he had got arrested there in Nicopolis again. We don't know what happened. But next thing we know, he's in prison again in Rome. And this time he's on death row, and they're going to execute him. And he wrote 2 Timothy, the last book that Paul wrote. He wrote 2 Timothy to charge Timothy. And it's there in that letter where Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I'm ready to die. And he's given Timothy the last charges and encouraging him and strengthening him and helping him and waiting for his execution. And just flip over with me to 2 Timothy. There's a couple of things I want you to see here that are really, really helpful for us. 2 Timothy, and notice some of the things that Paul was charging him to do. Chapter 1, we see in verses 1 to 4, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, and without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee and being mindful of thy tears, and that I may be filled with joy when I remember and when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that's the sincere or not hypocritical faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. All right, so Paul has got fond memories. He remembers Timothy in a very dear way. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now that's an important thing. What was he doing? He's saying, Timothy, I want you to stand strong, but I want you to also find faithful men who you can teach and to carry on the work. And, you know, folks, that's what really the ministry is all about, is to train people and help people and to find faithful people that we can hand the baton over to so that they can continue to carry on the work and the work can grow. And that's really what we need. That's what we need to be asking God to do for us, to make us faithful Christians. But then also we need to be praying that God would raise up faithful people in our church that we can train to prepare to carry on. Just like Benjamin there in Papua New Guinea, he's got that brother Tom, and Tom is a faithful man, and he's training and preparing him, just as Timothy was being trained here by Paul to carry on the work of God. So that's a great encouragement to us. We see in verse number 3 of that, he says, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So he's challenged to endure those hardships. It's not going to be easy. In chapter 2 and verse 22, he tells him there that he needs to flee youthful lust and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Keep your heart right, he says. And then in chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, Timothy, preach the word, be instant. That means ready all the time, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, there's times coming that are not going to be good. You need to stand strong and do what's right. And then diligently attempt to visit Paul, chapter 4, verse number 21. This is Paul's closing words to him. He's only got two verses left. He says, do thy diligence to come unto me, come to me before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. So he said, Timothy, please, do your diligence to come before winter. I really want to see you again. The last words from Apostle Paul. And he's written this to Timothy. Now, what do we know about the rest of Timothy's life? Well, Scripture doesn't record for us. History gives us, or maybe we should say tradition, gives us some information that maybe can be helpful. Tradition is that Timothy was the pastor there at Ephesus for a number of years, that he was the head pastor there, strengthening the church, helping them grow. And then during a pagan festival to Diana, he, while attempting to stop a heathen procession that was just a pagan thing that was honoring the Diana, honoring the goddess Diana, the mob attacked him and killed him, and he lost his life. Now, that's only tradition. We don't know for sure. We don't know how old he was, whether it was a long time or whether he was still young, but he very likely died as a martyr if tradition is correct. But as we look at this young man, Timothy, a lot of things in his life stand out as exemplary and things that we need to look into. You know, every one of us, whether we're men or women, we need character like Timothy had. You know, there's a dearth of character in our world today. People who will do right and stand for truth and do what is pleasing to God, no matter what, and they have the character to press on and to do what they're supposed to do. And we need to ask God, God, make me that kind of a person. I want to be strong. I want to do what's right. I want to be faithful. I want to be trustworthy. I want to be doctrinally right. I want to be sound in the Word of God. I want to follow God and be what God wants them to be. That ought to be our prayer. And Timothy was one of those kind of men. Paul was able to trust him. Even though at the start, he hadn't been with Paul all that long, but Paul could see this young man's got very good qualities. He knows what he believes, and he's not afraid to stand up and defend them. And that was a great quality in him. And again, things that we need to look in our own lives. You know, one of the things that all of us can work at, without exception, is knowing the Scriptures better. The better we know the Scriptures, the better we can defend the Scriptures, and the better we can explain the Scriptures, and the better we can help others to understand the Scriptures. So spend time in the Word, and as we read the Bible, ask God to teach us from it, not just to, you know, pat ourselves on the back and say, I've read my Bible for the day, but to actually learn and gain and grow so that we can benefit from it, and it'll feed our souls and teach us. And we can have our own little Bible school right there as we study the Word every day, so it feeds our soul and builds us up. That's what we need, every one of us. And we can do that. You can do that. And we've talked about that in the past. We've gone through things to help you. If you need any encouragement or some guidance or instruction or a reminder of something, come see me. I'm happy to help you. But that's something all of us can do. That Timothy obviously knew the Scriptures well enough that Paul trusted him. And he was a man that Paul could depend upon. And even though he was young, Paul said, I want you to be an example of the believers. I want you to be an example. In word, the words that he said, probably the Scripture words as well. Be an example in word, in your conversation, the way you live. And in your charity, your love, and in your spirit, your faith, and in your purity. I want you to be an example. And that's something we can all strive for. We live in a world that's against that. We live in a world that is against purity and against decency and against wholesomeness and against the things of God. But we can stand true. And that's something all of us can work at doing. So as we look at Timothy, think about these qualities that he had in his life and ask God, God, please, make me more like that young man, faithful and true to you.